Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
After 10 series of The Divorce Social, this is our first anonymous episode. We've kept the guest anonymous because she's currently going through a divorce, which also affects her status living in the UK. So she could be sent back to her home country where the freedoms and rights that she has would be very different from in the UK. So it's a really interesting story, and I'm really glad that she was happy to share this with us, because a lot of people are going through this situation. You know, not only do they have to make the decision to get a divorce, there's the added pressure of possibly being deported from the country. So this is a really interesting story, and I'm really glad that she came on the podcast to tell it. I am joined by our first anonymous guest on The Divorce Social, and we're keeping you anonymous for legal reasons. But welcome to The Divorce Social.
Thank you very much.
How does it feel being welcomed onto The Divorce Social?
Oh, well, first of all, I was just about to say my name because it just feels natural. I've never had to do anything anonymously. So that's something on its own. But also, oh my God, yeah, it's called Divorce Social. I didn't think I would be here by the age of 30, but hey, here we are.
Because we met recently and I didn't know you were divorced. And then we were sort of having a conversation and it just came out, obviously, because I talk about my divorce. But you have quite an interesting story. So how did the whole divorce proceedings start with you?
Just to clarify also, I'm still going through it. It's not finalized, which is really interesting because I don't know how it's going to end up and where I'm going to be in by the end of this year. But yeah, so I initially got married I forgot when I got married. It's a good sign that.
Yeah, okay. I could never remember when I got married either. I was always like, a while ago.
Yeah, well, lockdown and COVID is our milestone now to identify by. I got married a year before lockdown and I moved country for that. And I left my entire family, country, work, everything behind to live here with my partner. And initially, obviously, we'd never lived together before, because where I come from, men and women are not allowed to live together until they're married. So as soon as I moved here to the UK, there we are, we were living together, and then got a letter from the Home Office saying I had a very certain specific amount of time for us to either get married or I need to leave the country. I mean, we were planning to get married anyways, but that kind of put a pressure on us to do it quickly. So within 48 hours of time, we went and got married.
Wow, 48 hours.
Yes, I ordered my dress online. It arrived the next day. And like on the wedding day, I forgot to even iron it. It had like the folding, crist on it.
Creases, yeah.
Yeah. And it's quite funny. It was a fun wedding. It was quite small. All friends, just mainly his friends, because obviously my family couldn't make it within 48 hours. and then comes lockdown, which meant that we spent time together for way more than we needed to. Suddenly from like going from a long distance relationship to being together 24/7, none of us working and just on top of each other the whole time. It was really, really intense. None of us knew how to deal with it. And that sort of like affected our relationship in a big way, I believe. We got to a conclusion where we both realized this wasn't working, which was a really scary moment to be like, oh, that was not expected. I didn't think one day we'd be like, oh, this isn't working. Also, if it isn't working, then what? Because I've just left my entire country, home, family to come live here with you. And I've been through so many processes of like lawyers, payments, home office. It's been so intense. And suddenly after a year, it's like, none of that matters. So I guess it got to a point where like, okay, what are we going to do? We both did not know what to do, but all we knew is that we couldn't be in the same house anymore. So I moved out. This was a breakup. And the current state is that I'm still speaking to lawyers. I am sorting out my visa situation. It's going to be 5 years in December since I've moved to the UK. So there is a chance I can stay. But I don't know. I basically don't know. And if I'm honest, my partner, my ex-partner, has been quite nice about not, you know, going reporting me to the Home Office saying, oh, by the way, we're not together anymore, she needs to leave or anything. He's definitely not done that. He's just saying, you do what you need to do. And I believe I've come to a point where I realized my chances are I either need to get a full-time job that will sponsor me or, just try my luck. And, you know, with the UK rules and regulations, that is a really rare thing. And it's really, really difficult to convince the Home Office why I should be staying here, even though I've been paying my taxes and I do not have any criminal records. I've been a good immigrant.
So, oh my gosh, that is a lot of pressure on your divorce and relationship, actually, because obviously you said where you come from, you know, you wouldn't live with a man before you were married to them. So obviously mm-hmm. it's a very different culture. Yeah. What would it feel like having lived in the UK for 5 years and then having to go back home?
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Like, obviously, my sisters all know that I'm married to this man, but I have a very traditional mother, and she would never accept the way I live. So going back to a normal life is not an option. I'd have to find a way to live sort of on my own, away from the traditional side of my family. Yeah, if I'm honest, my mom never knew that I got married to an Englishman.
What does she think you've been doing? Just living here?
Yeah, well, just living here, because in her head, that is a red line, like to marry someone outside your culture, outside your religion. It's just a no-go. She would never accept it. But all my sisters know, and they've been very supportive of the whole situation. But yet again, if I do go back home, it means I will see my mom. I will be around her. And eventually she will try to get me to marry someone more local, which is not going to happen. That on its own makes life really, really difficult for me, because I also do love the freedom of living in the UK. It's just, you know, as a woman, when you realize you can have this life in the UK, it's really hard to go back and accept and be normal in the previous life. Also now I'm seeing someone else in the UK.
Well, you said the freedom. What exactly is there, like, a comparison? Like, what can you do in the UK apart from live with a man that you're not married to that you couldn't do at home in your previous life?
When I say freedom, I do think I'm thinking about simple stuff, as in me being on my bike, cycling around as a woman without having to worry, oh, what's going to happen? People see me on a bike. Or in the summer, wearing shorts and not having to worry, like, people are going to look at you, say something. Going out with male and female friends at any time of the day without having to ask for permission of someone, not having a curfew. It's just, it's really simple things that really shouldn't matter. But I feel like when you don't have to think about these small things, you end up creating bigger things, if you know what I mean. Like, if I don't have to, on my day-to-day life, start having to think about, what's everyone going to think of me if I do this? Do I need to ask to go to this place? Who am I hanging out with? Then my focus is going to be on making bigger things, on writing, on creating something bigger. But back at home, that part of me sort of dies, because I need to think about things that don't matter. Like, oh, is that okay with my family? Can I go out at this time? Can I dress like this? Or do I have to get a car in order to get to a place? I can't ride a bike. All these little things that really shouldn't matter does take away from your creativity. And I believe that is when I feel like my mind is not free. And when your mind is not free, you can't create more. You can't be yourself. And it just takes away from what I want to do, which is like creative stuff. That's why going back home for me sounds like a nightmare. And if I do, I'd have to live somewhere very separate and isolated. But I do, saying that, I do go back every now and then for work or to see my family, to just reconnect to where I'm from. And that for a certain time is nice. After a few weeks, I'm like, right, take me back to London.
I mean, you're saying they're only small things, but I don't know how I could cope with that. And it must affect your mental health, like having to ask for permission all the time, because it means that you can't focus on just being you and doing what you want to do.
Absolutely. That's why I got in so much trouble when I was back at home. I was seen as a rebel of my family, as the not very good girl. But I didn't do anything bad. At least I'd like to think I didn't do anything bad. But it's just all these little things that matters in smaller communities, that some of us get to a point in life, it's like, I want to do something bigger. These things are nothing. I want to shift my focus. And this is what I've enjoyed in London. Like, really, no one cares what you're wearing, what time you get out, get back, do, eat, who you hang out with. That is something you can get used to very easily, very quickly. And there's no way to go back to be like, all right, yeah, I'll be fine with the life I had before. 5 years was good enough. No way.
Yeah. I mean, now you're saying all of that, you know, those are things I never even consider, having been born in the UK and lived here, you know, that I would
That's
have
nice.
To. Yeah. So I can see when you said freedom, that it is freedom compared to your life before.
If I'm honest, it's really funny, because sometimes when I speak about these things, a lot of people are like, so was your marriage a sham marriage? Is that what you came here for? I was like, no, I didn't know that's what I was going to get. And now that I have it, I just can't let go of it. I love it so much. But it does make a lot of people think that it was one of those sham marriages. But really, before coming to the UK, I didn't even know these things exist. I'd not been to Europe or anywhere else to just have that sense of what life can be like.
So did you ever consider just not necessarily staying with your partner, but staying married just to stay in the country?
I did. Like, and that was just last year, because it got really, really scary for me when I moved out of the house. That was my lowest point, because I'd never lived on my own and I just didn't know how to sort of like live my life. And it got really, really scary. I didn't have many friends, and I kept on meeting up with my partner, just like I needed that comfort. He was, again, a big part of my life. And then I got to a point, I was like, oh, maybe we can get back together. But then when I was on my own, I realized the reason I wanted us to make work was because deep down, I wanted to stay in the country. And my fear was having to leave all this behind. And I've built a career here, which I couldn't have built back at home as a woman. So I thought I was trying to make our marriage work for a while. But I think I was just scared to lose what I've built here. I had to be honest with myself, be like, I think I'm trying to stay in the country. So I did tell my partner, I thought I was like, I'm trying to make the marriage work, but I was trying to stay in the country because I'm scared of leaving, which is not nice, but I had to be honest. And if I'm honest, he is in the same situation. He always tells me, like, you've built so much since you arrived here. You've done so well. It would be ridiculous for you to just leave all that behind. It's not fair. So that is nice that he sees that part of the story as well. But it does feel a little bit selfish of me to be like, yeah, I want to stay and not be with you. It's really complicated.
I don't think that sounds selfish at all. I think, you know, so it's such a big decision to leave a relationship and a marriage and get divorced anyway. And then you've got the added pressure of like, if you do make that decision, it might mean that, you know, you lose a life here that you've built up over 5 years and get sent back to your country. So it's like added pressure. So the courage of making that decision in the first place, and then also again when you tried to make it work, but then you could be honest with yourself and with your partner and say, no, this isn't what I want, this is because I'm scared of leaving the country, I think it's incredibly brave. I don't know if I would have been able to do that.
Yeah, my friends sometimes tell me, I don't know how you're able to cope with the whole situation. Sometimes I have to remind myself, you know, what the last 5 years has been about. I've left my home country, career, job, got married, separated. Now I'm living in the UK on my own, something I've never done. Yeah, it's been quite fast.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
A lot has happened in the last 5 years.
And I just want to go back, and because obviously you said your mum doesn't know that you mm-hmm. married an Englishman. And, you know, for me, when I got divorced, I think my mum was such a support for me during that time. And I like went and cried on her floor and all of that. So what's it like, you know, going through a really difficult time like a divorce and not having your mum, because not only is she in a different country, but she doesn't know the situation?
I listened to that episode where you said you cried on your mum's floor.
Yeah.
And I was in the shower listening to it and I actually started crying.
I'm sorry for making you cry.
I was like, I want a floor. I want the floor to cry on. I think it's very, very, very difficult, obviously, but it does make it a little bit easier that I've never had a good relationship with my mom, but it doesn't mean I don't need someone else in my life, like my sisters to be there, my friends to be there when I'm going through all of this. My friends are there and they do listen, but I think it does get to a point where the whole divorce process and situation becomes like really paperwork.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that it's just like, it feels like admin. if it's like, if you don't get these things done on time and don't keep pushing, then you will remain in that period of like, oh, I'm getting divorced for so long. And that's, I feel like that is the worst part of it. Like, if you've made the decision, a conscious decision, that this isn't working, even though it's hard, I feel like it's nicer to just get it done, strip yourself away from it, and just start again. So I'm trying as hard as it is, as much as every now and then I do feel like I'm going to break down, but I'm trying to strip away all the emotions that's attached to getting a divorce and just treat it like it's admin work. And I'm not always successful. Every now and then I fail. I sit there and cry for hours. But if I don't do that, then I'm going to get caught off guard, and it's not going to be nice. It's going to be worse. And I think last year it was impossible for me to start the process. Every time I looked at it, I felt it made me feel sick, and I just cried for hours, and I would go see my ex-partner. I was like, what the hell? I can't do this. But this year has been a bit more, I don't know, I've started to treat it a bit more like it has to be done. It's paperwork. I got to do it. But it does take time to get to that stage. I think last year, February until November, I couldn't. It was impossible. I was just like, no way. And then I left the country for 3 months. I went home away. I just made myself really, 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 really busy with work. I just had to get out of that space mentally. And then when I got back, I was like, right, now I'm a big girl. And I feel like an adult. I gotta get this done. And then I started the process slowly, emailing lawyers, sort of like, hey, by the way, telling the lawyers, I know what you're gonna say, but this is the situation. And lawyers absolutely love it, don't they? They're like, okay, yeah. They're like, I can help you. It's gonna cost you that much.
It's gonna cost you everything you earn, but I can help
you. Yeah. Yeah, basically all your limbs, anything you have. And then they also tell you it might not work. So this is where I'm at the moment, just sweetening things with lawyers and trying to find a job that will sponsor me. That's another thing I actually wanted to tell you about. You know, to get a job, a full-time job, which I never want to do because I'm a creative person. I want to do my own things, but sadly I do have to get a job that will sponsor me. But every time I go into an application, job application, and try and apply, they ask you, do you have the right to work in the UK? And I do, yes. And then they ask you, do you think you might need a sponsorship visa in the next couple of years? And I'm like, oh no, they know exactly what. It's like, they know it. They know this is happening. This must be happening with so many people. And I'm like, if I say yes, does that take away from my chances of getting accepted for that job? And if I say no, in a couple of years when I'll be like, hello, I might need a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Will they be like, why did you apply? It is very hard to sort of navigate and understand what their intentions are by asking that question.
Because I'm not sure what sponsorship entails. Do they have to pay anything, or do they just say she's working for us and so she's adding to the economy?
Well, I am adding to the economy and I've been paying all my taxes. However, when a company does sponsor you, they do have to pay like an annual fee. And it's really not that much for a company. For an individual, it might be a bit, but for a company, I would say it's not that much. But still, so many companies, just every single job I'm applying for, they ask that question. And I'm like, I just want to understand what the intention is behind it. Is it really to have a diverse team and trying to help someone with a sponsorship? Or is it really to be like, uh-oh, I don't want to get to that territory. I don't want to have to sponsor someone and run away. It's hard. I want to think.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's them going, okay, we're going to have to pay extra money. But it's so interesting that that is on forms. Because I'd never noticed that.
So many. Like every time I apply, and then I send a screenshot to my friends and I say, do any of you see this as well? Have you come across something like this? And what do you think is happening? And obviously a couple of my friends are in managerial roles where they have to hire people as well. And one of them said, yeah, that's normal. That's just standard to understand what the company needs to do when you're hiring a person who needs a sponsorship. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I've got trust issues. I just feel like it's more than that.
Yeah, I'd be the same. I'd be like, why do they want to know this information?
Also, can I say, no, I'm fine. I don't need a visa. And then make myself, you know, irreplaceable until they give me one. I'm joking. But, you know, I have thought about it.
Yeah, it's like the chicken and the egg, isn't it? It's such a hard situation.
Yeah, it's not black and white. It's you never know.
So not only are you dealing with divorce admin, you're also dealing with like job and visa admin.
It's all connected to each other. That's why, like, if I get a job that helps me stay in the UK, then the divorce will be much easier. Bless him, my ex-partner as well. Sometimes I see him and I bump into him. I know he wants to go on with his life, but he also doesn't want to put any pressure on me. But it's hard for him also to be in the dating world to just say, yeah, well, my ex-wife and I are still together. We're waiting for her to sort out our visa.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ding dong. It's the ad break. This podcast is sponsored by Penguin in the Room, an award-winning company that can manage your business's social media. They even manage our podcast, Instagram and Twitter. Just email info@penguininthe.com for a quote. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can by buying merchandise from our website, www.thedivorcesocial.com. Ding dong.
And what about you in the dating world?
Well, since my ex-partner and I separated, I really wasn't ready to date anyone, to see anyone. Also, like, well, maybe I can see people. I felt like, but then what do I say? Hey, by the way, this is my situation and it's probably way too complicated for you to even understand it. Do you think you can deal with it? And there's been quite a few really funny times where the guy has been like, yeah, I don't think my brain can comprehend that. Sorry, it's not for me. I'd be like, great. I thought so as awesome. Well. Awesome. I wasn't expecting to really understand and be like, yeah, sure, we can make it work.
When do you tell someone about it? like, is it first date or like before you meet them on an app, or do you wait a few dates in?
So this is another thing. Like, well, I never went on the apps. I've got severe trust issues. But I feel like it has to be the first date, because imagine you don't do it on the first date, and the second date you go out, third date or whatever, and you kind of like seeing each other, and then you drop the bomb, be like, by the way, I know you kind of like me, so I feel like I should tell you this. But then also when you tell them on the first date, it's a bit intense. Yeah. It's a bit too much. So that's why I was like, right, dating is not for me. The more I have to explain to people, and the more I see the faces where they're like in a big shock, the more I realize the shit state my life is in.
No, I think it's just something that you might not expect on a first date. But it's like, you know, when I was dating and telling people I was divorced, yeah, because I was, you know, in my early 30s, people didn't necessarily expect it. And then they'd be really shocked and like not know what to do with the information.
When I tell people as well, I've been married and in the process of divorce, they're like, when? When? You look young. I'm like, yeah, things happen fast. But I didn't think this would happen. I always thought I was going to be one of those people who would get married once and forever. And I wanted to be that person, because obviously everyone around me and my family was that person. I don't know the details of their happiness, but there wasn't a lot of divorces happening where I grew up. No separations at all.
Did you know anyone who's been divorced before you?
No.
So that, again, must have been a big step when you're making that decision, because you've got like no, I don't know, route map to follow, or like, well, my friend did this and then they were okay. You know, it's a leap into the unknown.
It's so true. Like, I wish, it's sadly, I don't know anyone before me who was divorced. And like, I wish someone was happily divorced and could tell me what route to go. But I didn't know a single person, because no one in my family from back home was divorced. And I didn't know many people here. So I was the first person, sort of had to figure it out on my own. But all I knew was that our relationship was not working. Something was dead and I couldn't be in there. I had to be honest with the way I felt. Like, living in the same house with someone that didn't feel right, it felt suffocating. So whatever the consequences were, even if I got deported, or I don't know, and my family, my mom eventually knew about it, or something happened, I couldn't think of the consequences, or I couldn't care about the consequences, because the feeling of living with someone that didn't feel right was way, way bigger than the consequences, and it felt suffocating. I just had to get out first, and then think of what to do. And
it's amazing that you've stayed so true to yourself and dealt with so much on your own in a country where you didn't know anyone.
I do think maybe I will become a divorce advisor after this.
Well, that would be a great full-time job, and presumably they'd sponsor you, because that would be the point of the job.
You would be surprised how many people there are. Because all I had was Google, right, on my own. And I would go online just looking at forums and what people do. I couldn't ask people. Also, it's a bit scary. It's the reason why I'm anonymous on this podcast. It's like, who is listening? Who knows me? Who knows what I'm going through? Also, when I was going through the forums, so many people are going through it. And unless it's like you can prove that it's a domestic abuse or a really severe case, you do get deported. So a lot of people are like, but it's a marriage, just like every other marriage, it's not working.
Yeah.
Like, not every other marriage, but, you know, like every other marriage
divorce
that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you expect those marriages who are, you know, with a partner from abroad, that involves a sponsorship visa, to work perfectly just because you're sponsoring someone? Before that sponsorship, it's a marriage and it can break down. And that in sponsored marriages, it's just not an option.
So a lot of people are trapped in that situation.
A lot. It's quite shocking to know how many people there are out there who are trapped in the situation, and some of whom, you know, just happily go back to their hometown because they're from Australia or Europe somewhere, or, you know, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But some of us don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Because it's bad. Bad at home. So some of them happily just go like, oh, well, it didn't work, so I'm going to go back home, go back to Australia or Spain or whatever. But there is a lot of people who come from countries where they don't want to go back as well.
And I know it's not over for you and you're still in, you know, the process of all the divorce admin and all the home office stuff. Mm. But do you feel proud of yourself that you've made these decisions and that you're trying?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel very proud of myself because I could have stayed in that marriage and made it easy for myself to just make it to 5 years and remain in the UK forever. I only needed one more year, but it just felt very dishonest. And a lot of people have genuinely asked me, saying, could you not have stayed in the marriage to just make sure your visa situation is sorted? It's just a year and a half until you can stay forever. And I say a year and a half, like, of lying is a lot.
Yeah, every day.
I'm not a saint, but that is also very dishonest. I just can't do that to my partner. Just because our marriage did not work out, it doesn't mean I don't love him. I absolutely love him. He is, you know, a huge part of my life. We're friends. And I just couldn't be dishonest with him about that. That is the part where I'm like, I'm proud. Regardless of what happens, I made my decision. I was honest with myself and with my partner.
And you are seeing someone new.
Yes.
And presumably they know the situation because you tell people on the first date. How did they react? Were they just like, okay, sure?
It's actually really interesting because the person I'm seeing did know me before all that situation. And then when he kind of found out that my partner and I had separated, and that's how we went out, so he already knew about my marriage, which
useful.
Made it quite, yes, it made it a lot easier. And he is the most understanding, the nicest person about all that situation. It's nice to be able to be honest with him as well when he asks, oh, what are you going to do? Do you think, you know, he asks about the process and things that I need to do in order to remain in the UK. And it's hard because it involves him as well. Like, if I suddenly end up having to go back, and then what? It's not nice for either of us. But yeah, it did make it easy for him to know my past and my life before any of this happened. So I didn't have to be like, by the way, I've been married for a couple of years.
And do you ever think of saying to him, should we just get married? Because that'll solve everything.
Oh my God.
Or are you like, no, I don't want to get married again?
No, I do. I do want to. I don't dislike marriage, but I don't want to get married for having to stay again.
Yeah.
The first time around I got married because the Home Office told us that I'd have to go home or get married. And it didn't give us any space of like to understand what it's like to live together and sort of date each other in the same city, in the same country with freedom. We went straight into marriage, and I don't want to repeat that. Otherwise, I am not against marriage. I'm all for it. Like, if people want to get married, they do. But yeah, I just want to do it for the right reason this time, in my own pace. And I want to get a better dress and invite my family too.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you get that. And I really hope it all works out. What's the dream scenario for you? Let's manifest it.
Let's manifest it. Okay. Oh. The dream scenario is for me to be able to find a job that I'm proud of doing, but also helps me to stay. That doesn't make me feel like I owe them. That helps me feel like I bring as much into the company as they give me. And to basically remain in the UK, do what I love doing in my career, and be able to every now and then go home, work, see my sisters. It sounds simple, but...
No, it sounds perfect. I really hope you get it. And I guess if anyone's listening and they want to email me with job offers for you, that's totally fine. I can forward them on. You speak other languages, don't you? We won't say which ones to protect.
I am very clever.
She's very clever. She's very creative. She's very on it. But yeah, I really hope it works out. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh my God, it has been actually really nice talking about it, because I don't do that often.
Yeah. And is there anything, just to finish off, is there anything you'd say to someone who's, you know, because you were saying earlier, you might become a divorce counsellor for people in similar situations. Is there anything you'd say to someone who's in a similar situation as you, or they're in a marriage that they want to get out of, but they feel like they have to stay for visa reasons?
I would say we all have very different situations, of course, but really assess where your life is at and what will happen if you do leave that marriage. As long as it does not have life-threatening consequences, which I'll tell you now, for many, many people it does, your happiness really matters. And when you stay in a relationship that isn't nourished by love, it becomes poisonous and you will be damaging your mental health. So seek help, talk to other people, ask for advice, just simply say, I don't know what to do. And there will be people, even if they don't know anything, throw things around that will sort of like help you make up your mind, make a decision. Just be careful when you go online as well. There's a lot of people who try to exploit people like us who are going through something like it. They will try and charge you quite a lot of money to to get you divorced. But yeah, just be patient. Think slow, but keep thinking. Take it one step at a time.
Great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Divorce Social.
Thank you. That's my first.
I think it's going to help a lot of people, because it's a story that we haven't really covered before as well. So I think
it does.
Thank you for your words and telling your story.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really nice.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review.
please, please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also it affects our listing in the podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Ready, please leave a review. Love you forever.